is Pretty Personal, a podcast all about love, mindset, life lessons, and South Asian diaspora. I hope you guys are doing well and enjoying the summer. Now, today is a really special episode because not only is it episode 5, which is a milestone in itself, but because I actually have guests on the show today, so you won't just be hearing me talk. So today I am joined by my best friends. We all met at uni literally in our first week, and we've been friends ever since, and I'm so grateful that they've agreed to join me. We had such an interesting conversation when we were recording that we decided to split it into 2 episodes instead of 1, so you guys have 2 doses of girl talk. In this episode, we will talk about how we first met, the Black Lives Matter movement, and colorism. The second part of Girl Talk will be released on Tuesday, July 21st, because I've decided to take a break next Tuesday. So if you're not following me on Instagram, the link is in the episode description, but it's at Pretty Personal, and that's the same for Twitter as well, if that's your preferred method of social media. Also, if you are listening to Apple Podcasts, then please give this episode a 5-star rating and also leave a review, because it actually really helps make the podcast more searchable so that other people can find it, and that will just help the podcast grow. So now I give you my first ever episode with guests. Enjoy! Today is a really special episode because I have my best friends on the show and you are my first ever guest. So welcome. There's 5 of us in this call actually. So the voices might be a bit different, but I'm going to leave that a challenge for you to figure out who's who. I just want you guys to introduce yourselves. So we have Jessica, Heya, Tamara, Heather, and me, Preeti. So Jess, go first.
Hi everyone. I'm Jess and I met Preeti literally day 1 of uni. So we were in the same halls in the same block. We basically did freshers together and then the rest of uni together. So we graduated, how many years ago? 3 years ago now. And since then, I've been working in tech consulting in London. And overall, really glad to like still be in touch with these girls, because I know it's like hard to maintain friendships after you finish uni. So yeah, 3 years after uni, we're still friends. So really grateful for that.
Heya.
Hi, guys. So I've known Preeti since uni as well. I think they say when you've known someone for 7 years, you're friends for life. So I think that definitely applies to all of us. I think I met Preeti through Tamara and Jess, because me and Heather lived in the same halls and the other 3 girls all lived together. And I think we kind of met that way. I work in banking and yeah.
Heather?
Hi everyone. Thanks for introducing me as Heather. I can't remember the last time you guys called me Heather.
Okay, I'm going to introduce you as Heath.
Yes, I'm Heath. Yes, same as these guys. I have known Preeti for 7 years, which has flown by very quickly. And I've seen her change a lot over these past 2 years, which is super awesome. But yeah, now we're all working and things, yeah, are kicking off in our careers, which is super exciting.
And finally, we have Tam.
Last but not least. Hi, I am Tam. And I also have known Preeti from uni. I think it was the first day as well.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, we were like room buddies. You were next door to me.
Yeah, we were next door neighbours.
So yeah, known since first day of uni, and I work in fashion.
Guys, welcome. I'm actually so excited to have you guys on. It's nice because I love our weekly catch-ups that we have anyways, because we all have such different points of view. And it's nice just to have a discussion and just like catch up, because especially like with COVID, none of us have been allowed to see each other, which is really sad. So I love it when we all just have our massive catch-ups over the weekend. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to break this episode down into 4 sections. So the first section is a bit of a reminiscent one. And do you remember how we all first met?
I remember when I moved in. So I moved in all my stuff and then like my mum left and it was like, actually, my mum was still there when you like you popped your head around the door. Wait, was she there?
I can't remember.
Do you remember?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I think she was still there. You kind of popped your head around the door and introduced yourself because your parents had just left.
Yeah.
You moved in like early morning. And then I remember later that day, there was like a few of us, maybe 5 or 6 of us. And we went for like a walk around the uni, around the campus, just to kind of like find our feet a bit. Yeah, new friends. I remember that was first day.
Yeah, I found it so weird. Like, obviously, like moving out was probably the first time that like, we've all moved out away from home. I was all like really starry eyed because it's something that I've wanted to do since I was 16. I was like, do you know what? I want to move out. I'm done being at home. So I feel like it was weird because like making good friends in general is so hard, but like I feel like we're so lucky that we found each other.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like, Preeti, you don't even realize, like, you actually really helped me at the start because I was so terrified, like, first day. But as soon as my parents, because I came late, obviously, in life, I'd be late. So I literally arrived at, like, 4 p.m. I don't know why, but I arrived really late. Everybody had already kind of settled in. I wasn't expecting everyone to, like, be there so early kind of thing. And then my parents kind of just dropped me off and basically just left because it was, like, late as it was. Like, the door closed and I was like, ooh, I'm alone in another place. I don't know anyone. This is so scary. I don't know if you came to me or if I came to you, but I know I met you before, like, we had to go into, like, the dining hall.
The dining hall,
yeah. But I know I knew you by the time we went downstairs because I remember seeing you in the dining hall and being like, oh, my gosh, like, she seemed really nice. Let me go and talk to her. And then you knew Jess. And I remember seeing Jess and being like, oh, she seems nice too. Then, yeah, it went from there. But honestly, I was, like, terrified to even go downstairs. But as soon, like, because I already spoke to you, like, you kind of made me feel like I could speak to you again kind of thing.
It is lovely.
That is.
You knew that. But it honestly really helped because I was, like, scared to even leave my room after the door closed.
It is scary, though. Like, you're in a completely new place with all these people. I can hella relate. Because Heather, here, you guys were in the same block, right?
I remember meeting Heather during Freshers. I remember her being just like the most friendly girl, like going up to everyone and chatting and just seemed like super friendly. And then I think it was one of the fresher activities. I was telling Heather what course I did and she mentioned that she knew someone in our hall that did the same. And that was Jess. So I think she introduced me to Jess and then we went to our first lectures together. And then from there, I think I met both you and Tam.
Yeah, it's really weird. There are weird interlocks between us because it's, yeah, Haya and Jess were on the same course and so they linked up and then it was me and Tam who Tam obviously was in your block but me and Tam shared the same course so then when we were walking to lectures back and forth it was like a natural group between us.
Not to skip like 4 whole years but how nice was it to graduate together? One of my like favorite memories that we all got to do that together because not everybody gets that. Like so many of my other friends they were in like a random degree and they weren't really friends with people on their course so it was kind of awkward. Even in the whole, like their school kind of thing. So it was so nice that we got to do that together. Like it's a really special memory for me.
Yeah, when I started uni, I wasn't going to do placement yet. Like I know for the rest of you it was compulsory and then for me and Haya it wasn't. But I remember Haya telling me that she had signed up for the placement year, that option. And I was like, oh my God, everyone's doing placement year. I have to switch. Like, does that mean I have to switch? Like I never considered like doing, like working for a year during uni times. But yeah, I'm glad I switched.
I think I was the same. I was like, oh, I don't want to be the only one not graduating with my friends. So I signed up.
Were you not on the uni one before?
No, I signed up afterwards. I think both of us did that. It was a good decision. But yeah, I think mainly driven by wanting to graduate with friends.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's really nice to just like reminisce sometimes because we have grown so much like since when we were 18 to now. Okay, and the other thing that I wanted to talk about was the Black Lives Matter movement because I feel like we haven't really discussed it as a group, but I wanted to know like your thoughts on it and what more do you think that like, we can do at our age to help?
Should I start given that I'm here who be half black? Okay, so it's a lot. It's sad to think that in 2020, like this is where we are, you know? I don't know, like, if you guys have seen 13th yet.
Yeah, I watched it the other day.
My God. It's, like, it's draining. It's draining to like, know that, particularly in America, but obviously here as well, we have our own issues. Like, just the way society is set up is just so against black people. And when it's that ingrained, it just makes it that much harder to, like, reverse. So I think a lot of people don't realise how much they don't know about the topic. Even me, like, I didn't know how bad it was. Obviously, I know from my everyday experiences that it's covert racism going on, comments that are made. You just get used to it kind of thing. But when you see how deep it actually is and like the fact that as much as you think, oh, yeah, we've come so far, there's been a black president, like, you know, black people are not lynched. Like, they still are. They are still lynched. It's just different. It's just a different version of it. You know, everything's just dressed up in a new format. So in regards to what we can do, I think just like staying informed, staying educated, being aware of what's going on is like number one. Number two is having really difficult conversations with the people, with yourself, first of all, and with the people in your lives, because everybody's got a level of ignorance. Like my dad is a white man and he's clearly not racist, but he has a lot of ignorant views that without me kind of like pushing him in the right direction, like he was saying things like, oh, why is there so much, you know, like, why are we getting involved in riots? Like there's nothing, it's not to do with us. We're not that bad. And I'm like, no, no, there's a lot of things wrong with this country. We were paying off the families of slave traders up until 2015, taxpayers' money. Like that's terrible. That is unacceptable. That's this country, not America, you know? Like we can't stop kind of like fighting for change just because we're not as bad as another country. So I think protesting, not rioting, protesting is important if you can. Obviously we're in a damn pandemic, so it's not necessarily safe. So if you can't go out and do that, if you don't want to go out and do that, then, you know, that's absolutely fine. But signing petitions, you know, educating yourself and having difficult conversations is a good place to start.
Yeah, I think the protesting stuff, like, is really important to get that change from, like, the government, because as much as we want to talk about it between ourselves, no real change is going to happen until the government actively makes that change. Like, one example I was thinking about, you know, when they brought in the 5p, we have to pay 5p for a carrier bag. And remember, that wasn't a thing before, how many like plastic bags would we use, even though we knew it was bad for the environment and stuff. But we just wouldn't think about just like throwing some plastic bags in the bin. Whereas now we're so much more conscious of it. Just 5p. I don't know where I'm going with this.
It raises awareness.
And when the government makes that change, it forces us to, things that we know are bad already, it forces us to act well on our moral beliefs. But also one thing I've been doing quite a lot is like speaking about it at work, and well, not like in meetings and stuff, haven't got to that yet, but like on newsletters, and we have like group Slack. I don't know if you guys use Slack at work, but we have like channels where it's like an open forum, and just like posting resources on there, because I think that a lot of people our age are like posting on social media, and that's all good and well. And pretty much everyone our age in our circle that have, like, I guess, gone to uni or like live in our areas have seen those posts. But people in our workplace who might be from backgrounds that are mostly white or are of older generations, they're the people that are not getting exposed to this. They literally just kind of see it as like, oh, another campaign that they can just, that will just like blow over. But we've got to keep like talking about it, I think. I don't know why my East London accent's really coming out.
I completely agree with the raising awareness. When it first happened, like social media, everything like blew up, and it was a good thing, and everyone really like participated in Blackout Tuesday. But I also feel like I didn't want it to be a trend. You know how like people just posted the black squares and I was like, okay, I posted my black square, I'm done now. When actually there's so much more behind the scenes of it, even if it's watching a Netflix documentary, or like Tam said, there's so much further education that you can do, and you can spread awareness to like have that conversation with your family, or even sometimes internally, like you said, with the ignorance, we sometimes don't realize what we're doing. So even if we actually think about, oh crap, I shouldn't say that, that's like a small change that you can do within yourself as well. But yeah, I think my biggest thing is that I just didn't want it to be a trend, and I still want the conversation to happen in 3-4 months time, because it is an ongoing issue. And it's really sad to think that things that people were protesting for 60, 70 years ago, we're still doing the same thing now. People are still protesting for like the same change.
Yeah. Sorry, I was just going to say, I think the pandemic like needed to happen for this to become more of a thing, because black people have been being murdered by the police for years, like four centuries. Like it's literally been longer than just George Floyd, you know? So but every single time it's happened, it's been like everybody kind of sees it and they're like, oh, this is horrible. But everybody's got their own plans on the weekend. Everybody's got work tomorrow. Everybody's got something that's going on. Do you know what I mean? That is going to distract them. So everybody kind of just forgets, or you're just kind of like, oh, this is a bit like, this is horrible. And I don't really want to spend too much time thinking about it because it's just so draining. I'm just going to like, you know, distract myself. And then you forget about it. You never come back to it. And it's not because we're bad people. It's just because, you know, it is horrible. It's horrible to deal with. It's horrible to think about. So, yeah, I think this kind of like, it needed to be at a time like this where no one's, not that we have nothing going on, but, you know, there's not a lot going on. not a lot of distractions, and everybody kind of has more time to dedicate to it and, you know, educating themselves and protesting and all that kind of stuff. Change doesn't really come until people get up and do something about it. I think as soon as people realize that it's not a black people problem, it's a the world problem, it's everybody's problem, then I think we can come closer to some kind of change. But it's going to take a while. It's going to take years past this, which is a shame. And I just hope I see it in my lifetime, to be honest.
I mean, I completely agree with what Tam says. Everyone jokes about 2020 being like a write-off year and like how the world's been so terrible and in all these different ways. But I think it's been a necessary year. It's been quite eye-opening. And we don't ever really have a chance to just sit down and reflect in our own lives, just at home where it's just quiet and you can actually read up on all these different issues. So I think it's been a really important year, even though it's been negative in other ways.
And I think social media has played a big part in that. Like the traction that Black Lives Matter has gotten through social media is huge. And it's just a good way of educating people about the issues. And it's probably reached more people than it would have a few years ago. And I think social media is a good platform now just to demonstrate the number of cases where racism still exists.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think one of the things I've realised is how much different forms of racism there is. Like, for example, colorism is a form of racism. I feel like especially people in Asia, for example, like colorism is a massive thing and it is like fundamentally racism. But no one really talks about colorism or ever calls it out to be racism, which I think is like another conversation that we should also be having as well.
Colorism is a huge thing in like the black community as well. Honestly, like there's privilege in all forms. And being light-skinned is a privilege. So being that I am only half black and therefore I am light-skinned, I do not experience the same level of racism as like my mum, who is a dark-skinned black woman. Do you know what I mean? I have never been called the N-word. I've never experienced people being like, if I sit down next to them on a train, they're literally like, they get up and they move or they're like kind of thing. My mum has experienced that. My mum has been called all kinds of names under the sun. Like, do you know what I mean? Like it's a different level. So colorism is a thing. 100%. And even, you know, it's in films and TV shows. Like a lot of the time when there's a black family, for some reason the mum is light skinned and all the kids are mixed race. Like we never see like a dark skinned black family. Rarely. Like it's more so now, but it's just because it's people can't stomach it as well as they can, like a light skinned person, you know? So I've always felt like, I don't know, strongly about that, the whole colorism thing. It's a whole like sort of kind of a fetish that you could say with guys. Sometimes you get like, oh, you're light skinned. I only like mixed race girls. I only like light skinned girls or whatever. Get away from me. That's no. Like if you feel that way, you are an issue. You're a part of the problem. Like I don't want to know kind of thing. Like you obviously there's a problem in the way that you're thinking. So it's definitely an issue. And like trying to make light skinned people think that they're prettier than dark-skinned people. It's across races, you know? It's across, like, cultures and stuff. So it's a problem. 100% it's a problem. I don't really know how we can fix it, but it's definitely a problem that people need to address and be aware of your privilege.
Yeah, I personally feel like it comes a lot from mainstream media in the sense that, like you said, a lot of these families are lighter-skinned. For example, even in, like, the film industry, a lot of these actors or actresses that are of ethnic origin tend to be lighter. It doesn't make a person feel like that's a true representation of me or my culture. And it's like that standard of beauty that people feel like they have to hit. I don't know how to say that. People have been conditioned to believe that. And I feel like that's another thing that we've just got to sit back and be like, okay, that is wrong. We can't do that.
I think there's also products on the market that enforce that as well. So I think me and you, Preeti, were talking the other day about products like Fair and Lovely.
Yeah.
Like, why does someone need to try and lighten the colour of their skin to look, you know, quote unquote, pretty or better looking? I think products like that should just be banned and it shouldn't be something that is put into the market and products that people can buy to try and conform to something that shouldn't be conformed to.
I have a question I want to pose. How do you guys feel about the lightening your skin and products that you can buy to do that? Even for East Asians who may be interested in these products, do you see a problem for these products to exist for this kind of audience? Or would you see it as like a product that you buy similar to tanning, for example, like you want to tan to like look better, but they prefer their skin to be lighter just because maybe they're conditioned or maybe they just prefer to be lighter in that sense?
I think in East Asian culture, it comes from that belief that poor people are darker because they have been working outdoors in the fields. So that's something that's been passed on through the generations. Whereas, like what you said about tanning, so like, for example, people in more Western societies, people want to look tan because subconsciously that makes that person seem more wealthy because they've been on sunny holidays. They've had the luxury of laying out in the sun, going to the beach, where that's seen as something that wealthy people do. So it's in our subconscious, really.
I think you're conditioned to think that the lighter you are, the better, or, you know, for Caucasians, you know, tan skin looks nicer. And I think it's probably when you say, is it just because people in this age group just want to look lighter? Like, what's driving that behaviour?
I think largely media drives it a lot. So even in like South Asian societies, in like Bollywood, the main girl is always going to be a lighter skinned Indian. And as well, like Hollywood, a lot of cultures like look up to Hollywood, and all the like mainstream A-listers are white females or light skinned, well, not all, but a majority are light skinned male or female.
Yeah, I think it comes from, so to answer your question, Heath, it's the same. I think it's the same. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, wait, you were saying versus tanning, but in terms of like across cultures, be it in the East Asian community, South Asian community, or Black community, I think like regardless, the whole let's like bleach our skin is wrong. Like that is just incorrect. But it comes from within the community as well, but it comes from within because the whole community has been conditioned to believe that lighter is better. And yeah, it does come from media. It comes from years of just, like you said, Jess, the whole like you're seen as lesser because you're darker. It's a difficult one because versus tanning, I always find this a bit of a tricky one because I love a tan. I'm constantly like, let me get a tan. I want to like go and get a tan. But I don't know if it's different because I don't know. I don't know how to like combine the two. I feel like people often say with the whole, just for example, Michael Jackson making his skin completely white, whatever reason that was for, whatever skin conditions he did or did not have. People always try and say like about that versus like, what's the difference with tanning? And I don't know. I think getting a little tan in the sun, you know, wanting to be a bit like, you know, looking just a bit healthy, a bit bronze kind of thing. I don't think that that's the same as like getting a bleaching cream that's like damaging, you know. Obviously the sun can be damaging, but you know, I just think there's like, it's just different. It just doesn't, it can't equate for me. There's different reasons behind it, you know. I just feel like it's different. I just feel like tanning, like getting in the sun, just getting a little tan, and like literally getting a cream from the shelves to like make your dark skin light permanently because it's deemed as less or bad in society is a very different thing.
Yeah, I just wanted to hear your thoughts. I don't really have a point to make either. I just wanted to hear what you guys wanted to say.
Go back to like Tam's point, for example, about the community. I like the community thing's real, like, especially in like Indian culture. A girl who is whiter is deemed to be more prettier than a girl who's darker skin. The two can look exactly the same, have the same features, but I can pretty sure that all the elders or the aunties will go for the whiter girl as deemed as pretty or beautiful compared to the darker girl. And it's really, really sad as that think that all they see is colour. So then it also, for me, raises that question of you always want what you can't have as well. Go to like your point, Heath. I think I do agree with Jess. I think the whole people wanting to be lighter in Asian culture is more as a sign to show that they're wealthy because they can afford air conditioning or they can afford ways to block the sun. Whilst, for example, Western, where it is a lot colder and we're not exposed to the sun as much, like that whole having that tanned look kind of shows that, oh, we go on loads of holidays, we go on the beach, that's a sign of wealth as well.
Okay, so it's all to do with like the signs of wealth, and in the Western society it's the opposite because our temperature is the opposite. I see.
I think it's the culture difference as well, but yeah. But I think, yeah, no, Jess, your point about people working in the southeast is more, if you're out in the fields and you're darker, that shows you're working class, right?
Can I just say, sorry, regarding colorism, like for Black people, where it stems from is from slavery. So basically, if you were lighter skinned, you were treated slightly better, even if you were a slave. So you were able to work inside, as opposed to if you were darker skin, you had to work outside. You just got slightly more preferential treatment, although you were still considered black and a slave. So I just very quickly Googled that because I don't like talking about things I don't fully know. And I knew it stemmed from somewhere. I was like, there's a reason for this. But yeah, that's where it originally comes from. And I just think from there, it just becomes like a media thing. And then it gets to the heads of like everyone, including your own community. So
if you think about like why those slaves who had lighter skin would get preferential treatment, I guess it's because the owners identified more with the lighter skinned slaves as opposed to the darker slaves. So all of it kind of comes down to just like white supremacy.
I was just going to say that in general, just like in terms of, you don't even realize this, but like white and light skin is just associated with goodness. I don't know if you guys have seen that experiment that they did with like children where they show, here is a picture of like, here's some white kids and here's some black kids on a scale. And they just say, point to what's good, point to what's bad. And everybody goes for the white people as good and the black people as bad. It is just like a description of what is good and bad as a color kind of thing. I think that's how it gets so deeply entrenched that you don't even realize like how deep it is, to the point where you just associate the lighter that you are, the better, darker, the worse. It just becomes a thing that you automatically think without even realizing.
Yeah, what I think I find interesting is from that same video is when they're asked afterwards as well, why have you said this person is good or why have you thought that this person's bad? They can't actually, they don't know. They don't have an answer. They're just like, I don't know, yeah. Which is really interesting.
I've not seen the video, but is it just about who they identify with? So if you're, you know, a Caucasian individual, they pick someone that was Caucasian, or if they were black, they pick someone that was black?
No. The black kids also picks white people to be good and the black people as bad.
That's crazy to think that like it's so ingrained in such a young age as well. Like kids so young think of colour of your skin as dark as being evil and like white skin to be as good. And then I think that going back to like 13th Netflix documentary, they did talk a lot about the politics behind it and how it was so ingrained in people from like the 1800s, where like villains in movies were played by black people, and that's how they've got that reputation of, oh, this is bad. When I just feel like that's like literally 200 plus years onwards and we've still got that same mentality. Kind of sad.
Very sad. You can't trust the media. The media is propaganda, literally. That's what 13 taught me, is that every single thing you see on the news, don't trust it. Literally just don't trust it, because the way they portray things in the way they want it to be seen. Obviously, there's a lot of things going on in this country at the minute that are abysmal. And do we see the media, just how ridiculous the government is dealing with these things? No, you don't. Completely separate topic. But you know that footballer, I don't want to get his name wrong. Is it Marcus? Somebody or other.
Daniel.
Marcus Rashford.
Somebody or other. Daniel. Yes, Daniel. For some reason, a footballer has had to take control of whether or not primary school children are getting meals. And we're talking about, oh, that's so great that he's done that. How abhorrent that our government was going to let children go hungry. It's however view you want to take it. They can push it from a place of, this is great, look at this. When a black person is murdered, they try and find the worst picture they can of them, where they look, they've had a bad day, and this is a picture they took, and this is what they put on the news, like, this person got murdered, but one time they potentially did this thing, and oh, they look a bit upset in this picture. The person that murdered them, oh, look at them graduating from high, do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, the way it's portrayed is just very different, and it just makes people think this is good and this is bad. Like, you automatically just, you fall into the trap of what the media is setting. It's definitely, don't trust the media, it's all propaganda. It's hard to even realise that, like, because you kind of you trust it to inform you, but you have to inform yourself, you really do.
Yeah, I'm watching Desperate Housewives back again. I literally watched an episode today, and obviously this season was filmed back in 2005, and there's like a black family that move into this white neighbourhood, and this black family is like a bad family, like they're like killing people and stuff. But they didn't actually kill anyone even, but they've portrayed this family as bad and they're the only black family. And I don't even know if any other black family appears later on in the seasons. I can't remember. And this was filmed back in 2005. And it's stuff like this that kind of like conditions people without realizing.
Yeah, no, I also just feel like this is less representation of all ethnic minorities as well. Now, because of social media, there's actually a platform for people to like share their stories. But in terms of mainstream, I really do struggle to find people of ethnic origin that is like a role model of someone that I can look up to. I don't know if you guys feel the same.
Yeah, I find that at work as well, massively. I think that's a whole other discussion outside of media, but finding role models at work. So firstly, like a strong female role model can be really difficult to find in some companies, but then to find an East Asian female that has made it like quite high in the ranks is almost impossible to find. It's depending on your company, but in a lot of businesses, yeah, that is definitely a problem.
So we're actually going to play a game, and we're going to play who will be most likely. So firstly, I think we just need to shout out. I'll say the question and we just got to shout out who will be most likely to do this scenario or this thing. Okay.
Okay.
So the first one is, who's most likely to get married first?
Jess. Yeah, Jess or PT.
Me?
Yeah.
Still?
Yeah, no, because I think if you meet someone, I think it'll be quite quick. I think you'll probably be married in like a year and a half max, maybe.
Really?
I agree with that.
Guys, this guy is probably just going to be running off now that you've said that. He's going to be like, whoa, 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 wait.
Tell us who, Preeti. Who's on the cards right now?
There's literally nobody. Can't be dating during quarantine, you know what I mean?
You can find ways to make it work.
Some people been, yeah.
Yeah, I've known someone that's gone on her first date already.
What?
During quarantine. Yeah. Dating app and they met and socially distanced, sat in a park.
I like that.
I've heard some more devious stories than that. But yeah, people are doing what they want when it comes to that sort of thing.
Yeah, so I also am going to vote Jess and not me, because I genuinely don't think it's going to happen until like at least like 3-4 years. Unless God has other plans, but like in my plans, it's probably not going to happen for like 3 or 4 years. Okay, next one. Who will be the first to have babies?
Jess, probably again.
Me.
Yeah, Jess.
She getting married first, the baby's coming next.
Yeah, I love babies.
There we go, that's your answer.
Okay, number three. Who's going to be the first one to move out?
Isn't Heather, aren't you planning on moving out this year?
I am indeed. Might be me.
I feel like it's going to be you.
I hear Tam in the corner.
Pick me.
If Heath is going, I'm going too. Going with her.
Seeing the nest.
Weren't you planning to move Heath?
Yes, well, yeah, that's the plan. And then there was a Tam on the side like, pick me!
No, not pick me. Like, can I be involved in the plans? Yeah.
That's what I mean.
I will be on the side. I don't care.
Oh, I don't want to miss out. I want to move in too.
Come on, guys, we do it all over again. Uni experience type, you know.
Oh my God, imagine.
Genuinely, like, if we all be moving in, we can get a good place.
Tam's mind is already going.
No, because we can get a mansion and split the costs. We can be living large.
Yeah, honestly, I love it that when we go on holiday and we have, like, our place to ourselves. Honestly, that's, like, one of my favourite things.
Listen, though, Jessica is already planning her wedding and kids. She's saving this money. She's not planning to move in with us anytime soon.
Jess is going nowhere.
She's got a house to buy.
She's got a wedding to plan.
Oh, God. Stressful. Guys, I'm not getting married anytime soon. Why are we talking about this?
Okay, question number four. Who's most likely to move abroad?
Tomorrow.
I think it's Tam.
Tomorrow or Heather? Or both?
Really?
I didn't say me, I'd say Heath.
I don't know. I've never thought about... I don't know if I can imagine myself working abroad. I mean, you know I love a good travel, but I don't know about working abroad. I haven't really properly considered it.
Okay, question number... I forgot what question number we were on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Five.
Question number five. Who's most likely to have an accidental kid?
Tamara and her face right now.
I would say Tamara or Heather.
What? Explain.
Ooh, I don't know. I'm just thinking of like silly mistakes and random shit you got up to at uni.
Wow.
I can just imagine it.
Heather getting drunk and falling over.
Here we go.
Yeah, tell us how many times you fell over.
Tell everyone that Preeti had to buy you a first aid kit.
Which is very handy. Love it. 10 out of 10.
So I bought Heath a first aid kit for her birthday. And by far, Heath, it's your favourite birthday present ever, right?
I believe it was my 21st birthday present.
Yep.
So it's lasted me 4 years and still going strong.
Exactly. Okay, next one. Who's most likely to cry in a movie?
I love a good cry. I'm going to nominate myself.
Yeah, I think I will. We'd be the same personality type, so yeah, that's why
we'd
be crying.
I feel like we all got potential.
We have hearts. The other guys just have, you know, stone cold souls.
Who be watching This Is Us? Anybody here? Because second of that show makes me weep.
I've got to the bit about the dad. Oh,
you got to that bit like a month ago.
No, not a month ago. My sister went back to London, and I promised her to wait and watch season 3 again with her. So. I'm on a break, but...
Okay, you need a break to, recharge the batteries. That's so draining, that show.
This is why I don't want to watch it, because you guys keep telling me that it's cryable, and I don't want to cry, so...
First dates makes me want to cry. When you see the old couples,
really?
And they talk about how, their wife has died, and now they're looking for love again. Oh, so sad.
That's a shame.
Gives me the feels.
Okay. The next one is, who's most likely to get stuck in a bathroom stall or get stuck in an elevator? I will nominate myself for this one.
Yeah, I would do pretty for that.
With my bad luck.
That's misfortune, do you know what I mean? Like, no one's going out looking for that. That's just a bit of misfortune, so we can go with pretty.
Yeah. Are you saying Preeti's misfortunate?
No, I just think misfortune happens to me in some situations.
Yeah. But it could be anyone.
I've actually been locked in a bathroom, you know. I don't know if I've told you guys a story.
Is that where that question originated from?
No, it didn't, but I just remembered the story.
What happened?
So basically, we had a new bathroom at home, and it's one of those dodgy locks. So I went in, locked the toilet, did my business, right? And after I washed my hands, I went to open it and it couldn't because the lock had jammed because the person who put the lock in did not put it in properly. So I was in the bathroom for 2 hours, literally banging on the door, and then I had to wait for my uncle to get tools to let me out.
At least it was in your own house.
I know, can you imagine?
And you were in a bathroom, so if you had to pee, toilet right there.
I know, at least I had my phone. This is the one time I was actually glad I had my phone in the bathroom.
So really, truly, it was actually not that bad.
I know, it could have been worse. The next one is, who's most likely to get the highest grades in an exam? Heya.
Heya.
Hey,
thanks, guys.
From evidence also.
That's true.
I think we're all pretty good, aren't we? I mean, we're all pretty...
Yeah, but you got first, smart. Remember?
I'll do.
And the final one on this round is... Wait, where's it gone? Sorry, guys. Is, who's most likely to go off on their own on a night out?
Heather.
That's Heather.
She just ends up in a bush.
But you will find her at the end of the night. She'll be somewhere.
Because you've got to admit, it's been a long time, right, since something like this has happened. Maybe it's just because I don't have the opportunity to run off.
Can't be doing that in London. It's a bit dangerous.
It was quite easy to do that at uni, though. But that's the bit that I liked, when you can all go off, but you'll know where everyone was anyway, because everyone had their designated corners. You know where people would be.
That was my jam.
But guys, that was everything. I just want to say thank you for coming on. It was so much fun to have a really in-depth talk to you guys about racism, colorism, Black Lives Matter movement as well as we played a really, really fun game. So thank you guys for doing that. And I hope you guys liked it.
Thanks for having us. It was really fun.
What she said. I enjoyed myself. Provided some
Thanks,
good laughs.
Pretty. Oh, yay. So that was it. That was Girl Talk Part 1. I really hoped you liked it and you learned something new. Like I said at the start of this episode, next week I'm taking a break from releasing a podcast episode. The next episode is actually a continuation of this episode. So I'll be back with Heather, Haya, Jess and Tamara for another dose of Girl Talk. And we'll have a completely different topic. And that episode will be released on Tuesday the 21st of July. So mark that in your calendars. Until then, make sure you've caught up on all my previous episodes and enjoy the rest of your week. Take care. Bye. Wait, don't go yet. If you want to hear something that will make your day, then keep listening till the end of this outro, because I thought it would be really funny to add in some bloopers and my mess ups from today's episode. So enjoy Preeti being an idiot for the next how many minutes? Enjoy!
Wait, what?
Just being called
Excuse
out.
Excuse me? What?
Wait, let's not expose ourselves on
this. Yeah, guys!
Yeah. Excuse me?
No, I'm just joking. Don't expose us all. I'm
trying to unmute. Sorry. I was just going to say.
Why, what do you... What's that?
We have hit 40 minutes and I am just joining the new call that's being set up. FYI, if you ever listen to this part. In the meantime, I'm going to fan myself because it's very hot.